together again, especially as we celebrate Father's Day. And to that end, I want to go a little bit off script today, and I'd like to ask if all the dads here could please stand. Yeah, you know who yous are. Whether you're a new dad, like at least one person I know here, or whether you've got adult children, fathering is a real challenge in today's society. And we are blessed to have these men among us today. So let's give them a round of applause to recognize their work as dads. All right. Now, if your name is Ian, please remain standing. And Hanley, could I ask if you could stand up as well? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already noticed, Ian and Hanley are back with their new addition to the family. Let's give them a round of applause as well. Thanks, guys. Today is a good day. And today, I want to share with you the concept of a father's legacy. I think it's apt, this idea of legacy. Because every father, and indeed for every person, has this question in front of them. It's not, will you leave a legacy? It's rather, what sort of legacy will you leave? No one leaves planet Earth without leaving some form of legacy. And almost every father I know wants to leave a good legacy. And there are many forces, though, that are arrayed against this very idea. There are many forces today in our society that are arrayed against the dignity and the role of fatherhood. There are forces that are both overt and subtle. Forces that are out there in the community, as well as in here, within us, in our experiences. The Father of Lies and our Heavenly Father are engaged in a cosmic, continent-spanning conflict on the legacy that the fathers of today are going to leave with the children and the generations of tomorrow. You are in a very real battle, and you will leave a legacy, for better or for worse. Your household and the war of the cosmos are entwined. And every father here is called to play his part as together we seek to see God's kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And today I'm going to outfit you with some foundational truths from God's word to that effect. We're going to look at fatherhood from our Heavenly Father's perspective. We're going to talk about some of the struggles that dads today face. And then I'm going to leave you with some practical tips to build up a godly legacy in the service of Christ and of your family. Now, if you're not a dad here today, it's still very much worthwhile keeping today's teaching in your back pocket. Because everyone, it's not just dads, everyone needs to know what fatherhood is about and what legacy making looks like in practice. So this is for everyone, but predominantly I'm going to be focusing in on fathers here today. So here's the first principle. Number one, you should let your Heavenly Father define your views on fatherhood and legacy. Your Heavenly Father. Let me tell you who not to listen to. I don't think I have to convince you on this one, but stick with me. Don't listen to mainstream media. Homer Simpson. Al Bundy, for those of you old enough to remember him, Modern Family, the doofus dad that we all see whenever we turn on the TV or flick through Netflix, the doofus dad media stereotype that's perpetrated. That's not a great place to start, but that's where many of us do start from a young age, turning on our televisions. That's the way society talks about the dads. You've always got this wise mum in the background who sort of, you know, fixes everything and brings it all together. And you got the doofus dad who just bumbles through life. It's funny, but it's not funny when that begins to become the expectation of dads today. And I want to acknowledge on a serious note that we all come to the topic of fatherhood and legacy with a whole bunch of personal, not just corporate, personal baggage and experience. Maybe you grew up with a great example of fatherhood. That was your dad. He was just a really good, godly bloke. He loved you, and he was a good example, And your view of fatherhood is positively tinted because of his ministry to you, because of your earthly father. And yet there are a number of us in this room who have had the opposite of that. Your dad was consistently absent or abusive. Maybe you saw him slowly slide from being a good dad to a dangerous and unhealthy dad before your very eyes in real time. We've all walked in here today with those experiences from our earthly fathers, colouring how we see fatherhood and legacy. And then we read the words that Jenny read out earlier, those famous words from Jesus Christ. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you go with that? How do you go with the idea that you have a heavenly father? Do you think, that's great news, because you had a good dad? And you project your good dad vision onto God. Father has a positive meaning for you. Or do you go and by stepping back a bit and saying, oh, wow, okay. So he's like my toxic dad, except he's just more powerful. Well, no, he's not your earthly dad, positive or negative. He's not your earthly dad with your experiences times 10. He's your heavenly father if you're one of God's people. And as your heavenly father, he's perfect. If you want to see what true, unblemished, rich, real fatherhood actually looks like, you look not horizontally, you look vertically to your heavenly father. He is the one who your earthly dad was always meant to image, was supposed to copy. You think of the worst moments you've ever had with your dad in your life? That is nothing, nothing like your heavenly father. And you think of the best memories that you have with your earthly dad? Well, that's like a taste. It's like a fleeting, beautiful glimpse, a momentary refracted glance of your father's unending love for you. You experience that. And if you want an even basic understanding of fatherhood, you've got to look to the perfect father, because that's where you see this perfect love, this perfect unending focus. Now, if you want to know how he is a father, check out these verses. Not hard to find. Crack open Bible Gateway or your concordance, and you can find out what the character of your father, your heavenly father, is like. He loves us. He forgives us. He comforts us. He disciplines us. And he's generous with us. Let me be more specific. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's what love in fatherhood is meant to look like. Right there, Psalm 86, verse 15. Have a look at the next one. As far as from the east is from the west, so does he remove our transgressions from us. My friends, that's a forgiving father. That's what fathers are meant to do. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work. Notice that comforting your hearts, a father is to comfort, to encourage. And second lastly, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves those whom he loves, as a father, the son in whom he delights. Being a dad, as all dads here can say, it isn't just encouragement, isn't just love and forgiveness. There's also discipline. The molding and the shaping of an eternal soul. Sometimes there's a hard edge to that. There's a hard edge to that. And it's necessary. And our heavenly father does that for us, and earthly fathers are meant to copy that. And of course, fathers are generous. And from God's word, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is both the example and the definition of perfect fatherhood. And what are you supposed to do with this information? Well, since he's the perfect example, all dads are meant to image him here on earth. We are to love our children. We are to forgive them. We are to be generous, to discipline them and encourage them. But it doesn't just stop there, fathers. And hear me, because this is a clear dividing line between a secular view of fatherhood and the true view of fatherhood. How it sees from God the Father's perspective. We aren't just generous to our kids because we like being generous. We don't just discipline them because they need a bit of discipline so they can be good citizens when they grow up. No. Fatherhood and all of those things that we do are designed towards a specific end. They are aiming towards something. God is aiming all of his loving actions towards us for our eternal welfare. And there's the difference, friends. Towards our eternal welfare. He's not aiming for the short term. He's not aiming for the small, and neither should you. Specifically, as God our Father works for our eternal welfare, so too we are to work and to parent for our children's eternal welfare. Love, generosity, encouragement, discipline are all aiming towards this heavenly goal, this long-term goal. We want them to be following and knowing and savoring God for themselves. We don't want to have them with them copying our faith, and it's always just, oh, I do it because mum or dad does it. No way. We want them to find him for themselves, like we have. More than this, we want our kids to see past us and to see God, to know him, to love him, and to get on board with his kingdom agenda. We want our kids, whether they're 15 or whether they're 55, to be like the sons of Issachar, who understood the times they lived in and served God in their generation. And of course, this looks different when your kid is 5 versus when your child is 55. But we still have the same heart to direct them to live faithfully, to advance the kingdom of God here on earth, and to prepare the world for Christ's return. The charge of a father is to leave an eternal legacy in the lives of his children and for his future descendants. However, it's all nice to say this, isn't it? But there are serious obstacles in our ways as well. If you're a Christian dad here today, you might be thinking, yeah, I'm up for all this. But you know there's obstacles there. There are obstacles within you. If you're a Christian here today, you have a new nature. You now love the good. And you've got this battle going on. I heard an Indian chief once described it as two dogs fighting inside, a black and a white dog. You've got this sinful nature that wants to fight and try to regain ground. And you have the new nature that God's given you, the nature that loves the good. And there's a battle going on there. It's very real. And at the same time, the vast majority of us in our personal lives had our mums around as we grew up. And a good number of us, though, were missing godly dads. They weren't physically present for various reasons, or he was present, but he wasn't really present. You know what I mean? Present, but not really present. He was there in the room, but he wasn't, not emotionally. He wasn't connected with his kids. Now, if you're a younger man here today, and I see a few here today, your generation's actually got it the toughest. You've got it the worst. Because you've seen an unprecedented level of fatherlessness in your generation. Record-breaking fatherlessness. And this level of fatherlessness is so bad that it's led to YouTube channels like Dad, How Do I? Dad, How Do I? Is a very famous and popular YouTube channel where a normal, average YouTuber teaches blokes, young men today, how to tie a tie, how to change a tire, how to shave. All the things that young men of today have missed out on due to their father's absence. This gaping hole is challenging for fathers today, because if you've never seen godly fatherhood, let alone had it modeled to you, how can you be expected to live it out? How can you be expected to be a godly dad if you've actually just never seen it in practice under a roof? And for a number of you, you start out your mission to be a godly dad from the ground floor because, well, you were raised by mum. And for others of you, you're actually starting from the bottom of a hole because you had an ungodly dad and you've got to unlearn a whole bunch of stuff that you learnt under those roofs all those years ago. You've got to unlearn it and then replace it with godly ways of relating to your children. But regardless of where you're starting from, the next step is the same for everyone. You don't trust in your own strength. Instead, you trust in God's strength. Whether you've been a dad for 14 years or 40 years, you've still got a heavenly father. And while your earthly dad may have passed away, you'll always, always have a heavenly father. Hear me on this, older men. Because we have older men in our congregation and their fathers have passed away, hear me on this. You will always have a heavenly father. Even in your 90s, you are still going to be hobbling along with a heavenly father. You will still be the loved son of the father. That doesn't end. His love for you will not end. And he's far more committed to you and committed to you as a dad than you are. You think you're committed to your 10-year-old? You think you care about your adult children? God cares far more about them. And the shaping of your children is his mission. And he's invited you to come alongside and partner with him. It's his job, primarily. He's just got you coming along to help. And the shaping of these children, if you arrogantly try to do this alone, as if you don't need God the Father to help you, Father, you're going to find yourself rubbing against the grain of the universe. It's really difficult to provide security to people if you yourself don't feel secure. It's very difficult to be a loving father if you don't feel loved by a heavenly father. It's very difficult to be constantly forgiving as a father if you don't experience the constant forgiveness of your heavenly father. And it's really difficult to be a godly father who molds offspring if you don't feel the molding and the shaping of an omnipotent hand over your life. God is loving you as a father, and it's from your relationship with him, it's from that relationship that you parent. That's where it comes from. And once you can rest secure in God's powerful hand over your life, well, you can actually be a secure dad. And you can father from a position of peace and stability. Once you know you're forgiven by your heavenly father, well, you're going to be a lot more able to extend forgiveness to your children's inevitable and repeated sin. And once you know you're loved by a heavenly father, you can actually take risks and speak truth into your adult kids' lives. Because you know that no matter what, God's love will sustain you through potential relational turbulence. If you rest in these truths, friends, and if you live from these truths, God will be glorified and you will leave a powerful legacy to future generations. This is God's will for fathers all over the world, and he deserves to be emulated and glorified in our families. We want to see God's vision of fatherhood clearly shown to the world. And we want to see the widespread repudiation of weak and ungodly visions of fatherhood. Now, you might be thinking, okay, I'm comfortable with God as my father and I'm looking at him. What's next though? How do I get to work on this tomorrow or next week? Well, the next step in leaving a godly legacy is to look at yourself and to consider where you can improve. I would see it a bit like a renovation. I was talking to Brent earlier, and he's telling me about renovations that he's doing in his house. Renovating the bathroom, which is always a fun job if you've ever done that. Renovations happen, generally speaking, one thing at a time. You can only handle so many tools at once. You can only actually, literally, properly focus on one area at a time. And it's the same in what we're talking about here today. You do things one thing at a time. Think of something that the Holy Spirit, and you know this, the Holy Spirit has been putting his finger on in your life recently, in your parental practice. Maybe it's something that you need to stop doing, or maybe it's something that you know, you need to start doing. Whatever that thing is, step one, pray about it. If you want to become more like God, well, that always begins and ends with prayer. You've got to start and end with prayer. Secondly, I would encourage you to keep whatever this issue is that the Holy Spirit's pointing on in your life, keep this issue or allocate a month to this issue. Allocate a month where you're like, this month, I'm going to work on X. Maybe you've got an issue with anger. You pop it way too quick, and you know this. Or maybe you're like, I really want to start discipling my kids. But I'm not really sure where to go, and when I try it, things go bad. I could definitely improve in that space. Give it a month of focused attention. And in that month, I want to encourage you to ask your wife or your significant other for help. They already know you need the help in this space anyway, so you're not actually giving them any new revelation. And from there, as well, talk to some of your mates about it. You've got some friends. Ask them about it. Ideas, tips, tactics. Guys love to give advice. Lots of advice. We don't listen much, but we'll give lots of advice. So ask your mates for advice on this. And there's something powerful when you get people you know involved. Ecclesiastes talks about a cord of three strands. You often hear it at weddings, but it can apply in many different contexts. Three strands is a cord not easily broken. And getting other people involved in what you're doing to the glory of God is a strong thing. It's a good thing. Next, I want to encourage you to find a father who models godliness in this area. If you see a dad who's just smashing it, I feel like, yeah, that dad knows how to deal with this. If it's anger, that dad's the most peaceful dad I know. And yet I know his kids won't muck with him. How does he do that? Have a yarn with him. If family discipleship, find a family in our church, there's quite a few, who've got a lot of kids and they're discipling them. Ask them, how do you guys do that? And don't just go to one person, go to a few. Figure out what's expertise is in our midst and then apply it in your own life. See what works, see what doesn't. And lastly on this, praise God as you grow, but never grow complacent. You will see God's growth by God's grace. If you're praying about this, if you're allocating a month per thing, and if you're finding fathers who are good at this, if you're listening to advice from other people, you're going to grow. By God's grace, you will grow. And if you allocate 1 month for one thing, and there's 12 months in a year, you're going to have 12 different areas of your fathering that you're going to be improving in. Map that over 18 years. Map that into your adult kids' lives as well. That's a lot of improvement. And that's the sort of thing God's calling us to. But do not grow complacent. Because it's not like if you dealt with anger back there 3 years ago that you're fine and anger's no longer a problem, right? Because that's not how it works. That's not how it works. We all know that you've got to stay alert. I see it a bit like a car. We service a car. If you change the oil once and you're like, whoop, I never, ever, ever need to change the oil in that car again. Good job for me. You're going to have a nasty surprise in a few years' time. And in the same way, from then on, you start thinking, okay, I'm going to start topping it up regularly. I'm going to start looking after my car regularly, doing maintenance. So you never fully solve it. You just get better at it and you maintain those areas of your life that you're seeking to improve over time. Let me tell you, it's much easier to do maintenance on your fathering than it is to have to rebuild from scratch after crashing hard in a certain area. It's much easier to do maintenance. So, never get complacent. Satan would love you to be complacent. Don't fall for that. Now, as we come to the end here today, I want you to think about this fact. Your work with your children, whether they're under 18 or whether they're adults, is crucial. God's kingdom is advancing, and Satan is fighting tooth and nail to try to keep prop up these false ideas of fatherhood. He wants to disrupt your legacy. He wants to distort the notion of fatherhood in our society. But as your loving father teaches you to be a more loving father, and as he transforms you month by month, I guarantee you we will see strongholds topple. We're going to see homes transformed. We're going to see his kingdom come and his will be done in our fathering and in our families as it is in heaven. And we're going to see godly legacies that'll ripple throughout eternity. And while God's final victory is assured and Satan's kingdom will fall, we are not there yet. There's a lot of work to be done. So, as we stand with our Heavenly Father, who is committed to its completion of his kingdom and of sanctifying you in your fatherhood and sanctifying your legacy, let's pray. And we'll go from there. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have taught us to pray to our Father who is in heaven. We thank you, Father, that you are dedicated to us and you are dedicated to transforming our family lines for your glory. Lord God, satanic strongholds are toppling, and we want them to topple in our households as well. Lord, don't just do it in other people's houses, Lord. Do it in ours, we pray. Do it in our lives. Lord, we pray in faith, and we want to see the most godly fathers of any generation in our generation. Lord, if we have small children, I pray that you will assist us. We can't do anything without you. Keep our eyes on you. And Lord, if we have adult children, we pray that you will assist us and to keep our eyes on you, because we cannot do anything with them without you. Lord, we entrust all of this to you now, and we thank you that what you've begun in us, you will complete. And we look forward to what you're going to do in faith in your name. Amen.